guaranteed for JJ. Should the Cardinals just offer Kyler Murray for Deshaun Watson to see what happens there?
Yeah, maybe. Why not? I mean, it'll be that'll be a pipeline. You talk about these recruiting pipelines where talent likes to migrate from one place to another. It'll just be the NFL recruiting pipeline. I guess it could go both ways.
The Cardinals should offer Kyler Murray like a pick or two or a defensive player and 50,000 Arizona Cardinals t-shirts to then be given out to Texans fans to complete the deal. How about that?
Yeah, so that they can root for Deshaun, DeAndre, and J.J. Watt. Yeah. I like that. Braden Gall pointing out on Twitter it was far more about money for J.J. Watt than he originally said because the Cardinals are not closer to the Super Bowl than the Titans. Do you agree with that premise? Like, if it wasn't so, if it was more about a ring, he would have gone somewhere else.
Yeah, I would think that's true because while I'm sure that JJ is going to go there being confident that they can make a big jump, if you're using the Titans as an example, they've been in the postseason and knocked on the door a couple of years ago, you know, the 2019 season of the Super Bowl, and other teams that wanted them have been in better position. If the Packers were really in play, they're obviously in a better spot. They could prove us wrong here. Again, I don't see the Cardinals being that team.
Yeah, me neither. Year. And what was crazy is to bring an off-air conversation on the air, I just made the comment to you, I don't think if you would have given me 10 guesses that I would have landed on the Cardinals in 10 attempts. Like, oh, hey, J.J. Watt just signed with somebody else. You want to guess who it is? So it does look like it's about money and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, $23 million guaranteed on a $31 million deal. That looks pretty good because it might be the last big contract you sign worth that amount of money. So you got to do what's right for you. But I don't see this. I just don't know why you leave the Texans if you're J.J. Watt, unless they were also wanting to move on from you, like to go to.
Oh, they wanted to move on from. Yeah. They there's a financial situation there.
Yeah. Okay. So that.
Yeah.
You go.
So he was not returning to Houston. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so there you have big NFL news today with J.J. Watt, big name on the move to the Arizona Cardinals. The Russell Wilson situation continues to be fascinating. I saw or heard over the weekend that the mayor in New Orleans was making a public pitch for Russell Wilson to come play for the Saints. So
did you watch the
video? Very exciting down there.
It was
I did not.
Awesome.
I heard the audio on CBS Sports.
She did an amazing job. She had like the Mardi Gras umbrella that she was twirling. It had the feathers and just a very Mardi Gras feel, and her sales pitch was awesome. So I gave that performance 2 thumbs up. Do you want to see Russell Wilson leave the Cardinals, or do you want to see him stay?
Well, if he's going to Vegas, I would love to see him leave. Otherwise, it doesn't make much of a difference to me. But if he were to go play for New Orleans, that'd be very intriguing. Same if he were to go play for any of those spots that were named would make that spot more interesting. For the most part, Dallas is just always interesting, and if he's not the quarterback there, Dak's coming back, so they're interesting nonetheless. But Chicago and New Orleans, for sure. There continues to be question, is Drew Brees definitely retiring, or does he maybe want to rethink his decision and come back and play for another season? So that is also an interesting part of this conversation with the Saints.
I really want to see Chicago land a good quarterback. I feel like the fans just deserve it. And I really feel like they're sort of like the Bucks, solid defense. They've got some really good parts. If they just figure it out at quarterback and get the right guy, they can be like such a better team. I don't know if they could be a Super Bowl winning team, but they can just, it would be such an immediate impact to me. I would really love to see them figure that out. And then for the Saints, if you're the Saints, I don't want this to sound awful because of what he has done for the city of New Orleans, but you don't want Drew Brees back, right? Like, if you're truly the Saints brass, you're ready to move on.
He's an all-timer, but I think it's probably time to move on.
Yeah, yes. He broke half of his ribs this year. Like, you know, it's not a spring chicken. And obviously, you could see it took a lot out of him, and his body is still trying to recover from all that. I just feel like it's over, and you don't want to be the guy that stays at the party too long because it doesn't end well. Not everybody is going to be Tom Brady throwing a Lombardi trophy to another boat, you know, on a bay. Like, how rare is that? It just doesn't happen.
You also reach a point, though, where you say, man, I wish I could still go to parties. So once you leave the party, that you might not be going back.
Man, I just wanted to go to dinner one night. You know, vacation with kids, especially toddlers that still take a nap, which I'm very thankful for, so I don't want to sound ungrateful. But it's really just everyday life in a different house. That is what vacation is, with like a couple of fun activities thrown in. But I mean, every day you had to leave the beach so that they could go and take their nap and not become little devils and things. Yeah, it's just, it's intense. So you're right. Yeah, just having the ability to still go to a party, there is something to be said for that.
Right. So I don't know, but it's not definite, it appears, that Drew Brees is retiring. That seems to be the expectation. And maybe he's forced into, like, if the Saints actually were able to acquire Russell Wilson, well, then is Drew Brees really going to leave as a free agent? I mean, I suppose he could. We just saw Tom Brady do it. Mm-hmm. But that would seem less likely for him to continue playing if he's moving on to a different spot, because I don't know that that would be ideal for him. Playing in New Orleans and that offense is pretty good. So we'll see. But the NFL offseason, it's becoming more intriguing every year, it seems, especially with this quarterback conversation.
It really is. And when you talk about the new quarterbacks that could be coming into the league, or that are going to be coming into the league, and you still have this sort of changing of the guard, you don't know what's going on with Ben Roethlisberger. They were able to kind of rework his deal, correct, to help their cap number with the Steelers. But I mean, that there's an expiration date looming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's an expiration date there that's steadily approaching. And then Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to be the most fascinating story to watch over the next 12 months, as he probably puts his house up for sale, denies that he's looking to go anywhere. But like Tom
that's
Brady,
the big
Matt
deal. Yeah,
Stafford, yeah, if they put their house
if you're
up
a local
for sale,
beat writer,
they're done. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not following the housing market, if a quarterback is potentially in play, then you're not doing your job.
Yeah, if you don't have the Zillow app and you're just like hitting refresh to see if that address pops up, because now it's been two off seasons in a row with Tom Brady being the first and Matt Stafford shortly after that. So, yeah. I mean, he's going to be the most fun person to watch what happens, especially like he's on to the next chapter of life. If him and Shailene do get married and all of that progresses forward as they're engaged right now, it could be like a renaissance for Aaron Rodgers.
Could be. So what's the spot for him? Where should he be targeting?
Golly, I don't know. They're in just such a great situation at Green Bay. I mean, you're really trying to just get them to add some pieces, right, to help you out?
Well, yeah, no doubt. Like he's not going anywhere this offseason. But no. So if we're talking about 2022, it's kind of difficult to predict where that might be. It's almost like you're trying to guess, okay, who is going to disappoint next season? And then that's where you go to try to replace that quarterback.
Well, if the Russell Wilson thing does happen and Seattle tries to figure it out get a temporary solution, and maybe that doesn't work, would that be somewhere maybe Aaron Rodgers wants to migrate back out west? I don't know.
A franchise who is spending this offseason saying, yeah, we're going to let our quarterback do less, so now he wants out, probably not the best spot. Maybe one more year with Ryan Tannehill.
San Francisco?
And then you look to Nashville.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, San Fran's probably the right answer. We'll come back here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Plenty to talk about. Tennessee hoops, where things stand, Tennessee football, what the future might have for this offense and for the offensive line. We'll get to that here this hour on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back in on Sports 180. Thanks for being with us on this Monday afternoon. Hope you're having a great start to the week. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We are online at 99.1thesportsanimal.com, as well as on the WNML app. You can listen live. You can listen on demand. Find any of our shows in the podcast section. That includes the Behind the Arc podcast, as we are now in March. Great time to check it out with Joel, covering what's going on with Tennessee basketball and college hoops. And this past weekend was not a good one for Tennessee's basketball team, with the loss to Auburn. And Heather, I thought at one point, well, things aren't going as well for Tennessee against top competition, but it seemed like Tennessee was still taking care of business against the weaker teams. Tennessee had the comeback that looked easy in the second half against Kentucky. Tennessee took care of business against Georgia, same against South Carolina. But then last week, Tennessee had a lackluster performance against Vanderbilt without two of its best players and three starters. And then Saturday, Auburn, without Sharif Cooper, which had not been playing good basketball. Auburn was coming off a 17-point defeat against Florida and had lost, what, 6 of 7 going in?
Yeah.
Not only beat Tennessee, but controlled the game throughout. And I think that's what's made it even more concerning, that Tennessee's not even playing well against the lower teams in the SEC.
And I don't know if this is just like one of those games or one of those matchups where there's just an aura around it. There's something that you can't quite put your finger on. I mean, this is Bruce Pearl going up against Tennessee. I think he's very highly motivated always. I think he always has his team fired up to play Tennessee. So I do think that there's a little bit of that working in their favor, in the Tigers' favor. But, you know, the really sad quote that came out of this, if you're a Tennessee fan, was Bruce Pearl after the game. Somehow we were the most excited team to play. They were excited. They were on a 3-game losing streak, like you said, just having a terrible season, not going to the tournament. Why are they even motivated? They should be motivated to just get the season over with. Sharif Cooper isn't playing. He was out for the second game with that ankle injury. And all of a sudden they had more energy and they were ready to play. And Tennessee wasn't. And, you know, that was a game that we cautioned people about last week. Now, I was optimistic. I was thinking that Tennessee was going to go 2-0 because I wasn't impressed with Vanderbilt nor Auburn. And I thought, hey, this is going to be good. Tennessee gets two wins right before the end of the regular season and they'll be, you know, rocking and rolling, feeling good going into the tournament. And that's just not the case. And not only is it not the case from just a win-loss column, but also from a momentum momentum perspective. Right now you're feeling, as a Tennessee fan, I very much imagine that your NCAA bubble is losing some air at this point.
Right. And then after the game, Tennessee's freshman Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, speaking to the media, talk about players not bringing it every day and confidence being an issue and maybe not being mentally locked in and prepared the way that they should be. And those are just concerning things to hear, especially when it's the freshmen that are saying that. And when Rick Barnes after the game is talking about the lack of consistent presence from the veterans who are supposed to be leading the way, all of that adds up to the conversation we're having right now and that everybody is having around Tennessee's basketball team. But we've heard Rick Barnes talk about there have been some practices where they didn't appear totally engaged before the Kentucky game, right? That Friday. Didn't see it, but you know that's going to happen within a season. Everybody, I think, experiences that at some point. But we've been having that conversation more often than not, it seems. And again, you see it on the court, and then you hear the comments from the coaches and the players back up. What you're afraid you're seeing is maybe happening more behind the scenes. You don't have much time to fix it. They have to turn it around really right now. I mean, you have this week, you have a full week to get ready for Florida, and then it's tournament time.
Yeah, and when you look at just what this Tennessee team did, I mean, February is the month where you really evaluate the highs and the lows of a team, and okay, this is what, based on what they do in the month of February, what we think they're going to do in the month of March, and it was so up and down. Consistency is still a word that is coming up and plaguing this team. Now, like you said, chemistry and their confidence seems to be low, to quote you from the face-off. It's coming together to where it's painting a very dull picture. If they can't get those things right, if they can't get the excitement piece and the chemistry piece right, then it's just going to be a short and very disappointing tournament run.
You have to feel for the Tennessee fan base here, right?
Absolutely.
Especially with the way the football season went, there was the, well, at least basketball season will be here soon, and this team is going to be exciting to watch. And not only is the team not winning, it's a tough watch. That team right now is, I mean, you can see the issues on the court that they're dealing with, and it makes it a pretty rough product on the court.
Don't forget, this basketball team also was like 12 months in the making, because Tennessee was falling short of the NCAA tournament last year, was most likely not going to make it unless they went on some run in the SEC tournament. But you were like, hey, listen, wait till those guys get here. It's going to be awesome. So this has been a 12-month buildup now to this point, and it's just not coming together like we all envisioned. So yeah, I feel my heart definitely hurts for the fans, but also how about the sports talk radio hosts who had so much fun? I mean, remember Grant and Admirals last year, and we actually parlayed that Sweet 16 into months of basketball talk, because then those guys were going pro and people were interested. They were like, so where do you think Grant's going to go? And, oh, I got to watch some Celtics Summer League games. And you're like, you're watching the Celtics Summer League? And yeah, some of my buddies at church, they definitely were. So yeah, it's just, that was so much fun. And you're thinking you're going to get the repeat of that. And now talking about lottery picks. Oh my gosh, when have we ever been able to talk about a Tennessee lottery pick? Tobias Harris was the last time. So yeah, it's crazy that you're here, but you're not, that the satisfaction level has not been near the same.
Did you just try to work us into the list of people that others should feel bad for?
100%. It's called hazardous duty pay. That's do people know how much stress is involved in these coaching changes? Poor Jimmy Himes. He's been through so many of these now. I feel like it's kind of taken the life out of him. I mean, he's on the phone every morning starting at like 6 a.m., you know, and so, yeah. Yeah, it's people need to understand we're people too, and we like to talk about winning. Not everybody's Alabama. We don't just all get to talk about national championships here. So, yeah, it makes our job a little bit tougher.
Hey, I'll be fine. I can give you 3 hours a day if you need me to on Ted Lasso. Shout out to Jason Sudeikis in his Golden Globe last night.
Yeah, congrats to him. I still have to get on board. I just don't have that stream service. I don't know how many of these that I can sign up for and just watch on my phone, because it's not the best viewing experience. But shout out, you said also The Crown. The Crown got some love last night on
it did
on the Golden
Top
Globes.
Drama.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I can vouch for that one. So it's a big winner.
Yep. All right. Jason Sudeikis accepting his award last night in a hoodie. Still has the stash too. Looks great.
I'm glad he didn't have to get all dolled up. I mean, that is the craziest part. I hope some of these celebrities are just having people over that aren't their hair and makeup team, because I saw people getting in full award show. I mean, like Kate Hudson was in full award show glam makeup and outfit just sitting on her couch. That's almost like getting stood up for the prom. That would not be fun, to put in all that work and then just sit on your couch by yourself.
Probably a comfortable couch, though. How many people do you have on your hair and makeup team that come over on a daily basis?
Oh, man. Well, can't you tell with how nice it looks? The color is just perfect. There's no roots. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Fun fact for those listening out there, you had it negotiated, the increase in your team, in your most recent Cumulus contract.
Yeah. You weren't supposed to say that. There's a non-disclosure on that. Yeah.
Well, I have a transparency clause in my contract. We'll come back here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. What changes might be coming for Tennessee's offensive line with Josh Heupel running the show? Brandon Kennedy, Tennessee's now former center, weighing in on that. Coming up right here on Sports 180 with 90 minutes to go on 99.1 The Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. We are halfway home. The sports talk set to begin at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Heather, Tennessee fans, I'd say, are expecting a better offense and also just a different-looking offense this upcoming year with Josh Heupel as the head coach. Is that fair to say?
Tennessee fans are like a group of nomads wandering through the desert and seeing a quarterback oasis with the hire of Josh Heupel. I think everybody's excited. I think it has been the single biggest rallying point to support Josh Heupel for this Tennessee fan base that doesn't have a lot of ties to him nor know a lot about him. And so, yeah, I think the dissecting of what he has done offensively at his different stops has taken the attention of the Tennessee fans.
Well, a former Tennessee offensive player, Brandon Kennedy, who is now preparing for an opportunity in the NFL, joined our own Eric Kane on his most recent Locked On Vols podcast episode, and they covered a number of subjects, including the future of Tennessee's offense. Brandon has been by the facility. He's seen some of the team workouts and talked about how things could be different for the offensive linemen with this offense that Josh Heupel is going to run.
Well, definitely, I think a changeup, it's very exciting, you know, to kind of have a new offense. And, you know, when you hear tempo, you think, oh, we're going to score fast. But, you know, on the flip side, you know, you have to be in shape, because I think Heupel or whoever the offensive coordinator is, he has, you know, a record for scoring fast. Yeah. So with those things, that's kind of things that people don't think about. You know, you have to be in shape and you have to be able to go fast and also play, you know, at a high level going fast. So those two things, they take some time, and you got to make sure you're, you know, especially from an offensive line perspective, you have to make sure that you're in the right shape and you can play, you know, at a high level for, you know, maybe what, 12 snaps, which is a lot in a drive, especially if you're going fast. So, you know, I believe they're excited, but I also know that they, you know, they got to be in shape. So those are two things that I would say.
Brandon Kennedy saying what I think a lot of fans are probably expecting, and I would guess at this point the current players have already figured out.
Yeah, and we had a guest on a week or two ago, and you'll have to remind me who maybe said this, but that it wasn't going to be fun, most likely, to be a Tennessee offensive lineman this offseason, because it's going to be a lot of conditioning work, and that's a position group that's probably going to have the biggest transition from the Jeremy Pruitt era into the Josh Heupel era. It's just like the learning curve is going to be totally different. And so that makes sense. I mean, everything that Brandon Kennedy just said really backs up that initial premise of this is a totally different thing that they're getting themselves into now.
Yeah, I do think away from the workouts, which are probably rarely fun for too many players if you have the right kind of strength and conditioning coaches. I don't think fun is too often a goal, but away from that, Josh Heupel has talked about trying to find ways to have fun, like the dodgeball game that they played. And that's something that they're trying to work on, I think, just to try to get these guys comfortable, to create a connection, and also maybe get rid of some of the past demons with what's gone on. The last year has not been much fun, I'd say, for these players, for a lot of players out there. It's probably not been a lot of fun considering everything they've had to go through just to be able to play. And then, of course, in this particular case, Tennessee didn't win much. So everything that they worked for did not pay off on the field in terms of the results. I'd say that's something that they're trying to get these players past.
And still one of the weirdest things, too, was just like all the former interviews, like the exit interviews that you're hearing from either David Ubben or Brandon Kennedy. He went on to have some nice remarks about Jeremy Pruitt and just what a player's coach he is. So it's like, I feel like there's also this space where those guys really believed in everything that Jeremy Pruitt was telling them and asking them to do, and they really liked him, and then it fell way short of what their expectation is. And so, like, how do they fill that space? Like, how do they reconcile? They're like, we did everything that we were supposed to do. Why didn't it work out? So now there's a new guy that they don't have a relationship with is asking them to trust him. And they probably want to, but it's that has to be developed. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen within a month.
Right. Making sense of 2020 has to be pretty challenging for the players and for fans, considering the way things appeared to be headed and the way that they ended up. And that was part of the conversation that Brandon Kennedy, Tennessee's former center, had with Eric Kane on Locked On Vols, was just making sense of the struggles of 2020.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of the biggest, like, learning lessons I had, because we faced so much adversity just starting from, you know, in April or March, whenever we went home, and then didn't know kind of if we were going to come back. Coming into the, you know, summer, everything was so different. And, you know, guys from close contact to actually getting the virus, we had so many people, like, not there at times. So I feel like that kind of is one thing that kind of hurt our chemistry during the season. And I feel like they kind of showed at times of, you know, different places on the field you were able to see. And so I think that was kind of the biggest thing. But it also just taught me, you know, in life, you know, you're going to face adversity. And, you know, I feel like we as a team, we tried to do the best we could to get through it. But, yeah, it was definitely a tough season.
That was Brandon Kennedy talking to Eric Kane on Locked On Vols. No doubt a tough season. And, yeah, other programs, they had to deal with COVID just like Tennessee did in terms of what you have to go through and having to go home and the uncertainty. So that was not unique to Tennessee. That was the case for everybody. But and actually, Tennessee opened up the season playing really well. So coming out of players having to miss time during training camp and everything that they had gone through, I mean, their best performance of the season was probably the second game against Missouri, that and the first half against Georgia. And then after that, things fell off, but they did, and I would say there are a number of reasons, some which were probably going on behind the scenes, and they just hadn't bubbled up yet, but I don't think there's one reason why everything went the direction it did for Tennessee.
No, but if you were going to pin it on anything, it was just the coaching moves of the offseason, correct? And not having good personnel coaching some pretty talented players. I mean, there's definitely more talent on this roster. And we've said this many times this past season. There was more talent on the roster than what the final record indicated. And I think one of the most glowing areas where you can place blame would be some of those offseason moves of coaching personnel changes.
That would rank high on the list. I still don't understand what Jeremy Pruitt thought offensive football should be at Tennessee. And the guys he hired, they're responsible for that too. So Jim Chaney, we can say, well, it's Jeremy Pruitt's program. Jim Chaney's making a ton of money to be the offensive coordinator. The coaching at the quarterback position, I think, could have been better. I think that's very fair to say. Mm-hmm. But also, if you have those internal issues and then you deal with problems on the field, well, then if there were any kind of issues behind the scenes, chemistry, all that, connection within the coaching staff, might be more difficult to work through that once they started to occur. So yeah, I think it all adds up. It's almost a compounding effect on why things got as bad as it did so quickly.
I think you're right. And you can draw kind of some parallels to how things fell apart so quickly for Butch when everything he was building looked so steady and so firm and a solid foundation. And then it just all crumbled like a house of cards. You're like, whoa, I still have a hard time reconciling what happened that last season with him. In my mind. But yeah, I think you're right to point that out. So you had some transition that wasn't working, so it wasn't producing the elements that you wanted to see on the field, so much so that you had to fire a position coach 4 weeks into the season. Things obviously aren't progressing offensively, so that causes friction. And in a year where you can't really just sit down and invite the guy and tell his wife to come over for dinner and maybe work it out, you know, on the back patio while the wives talk in the kitchen. Like there was a social breakdown as well, where you just couldn't interact with each other as much as you can in a normal year because everybody was being so careful because of COVID. So yeah, there's a lot of reasons, but still, I mean, Brian Niedermeyer coaching linebackers, that's got to be the cherry on top.
It was not the right move, in my opinion. We will come back here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. We will hit the pop-up fact coming up, something that you're hoping will change for Tennessee's offense. It wasn't great in 2020. That is an understatement we'll point to, but reason for optimism with Tennessee's offense moving forward. That's what we'll do coming up right here on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back in on Sports 180. Thanks for being with us on this Monday afternoon. Sports Talk will take over coming up at 3 o'clock. Heather Harrington is here. So is Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. Heather just realized she's seen, what, all of the movies nominated with the Golden Globes. Is that right?
Oh, 100%. Yes. I was just describing all the streaming services that I was able to watch them on. No, I had not.
Was it 100 or 0%? Which one was it?
Drop the one, drop the zero. I had heard of Nomadland. I have no idea what it is about. I'm glad to see The Crown getting some love for best television series drama and some actors that also got awards. But sure. For the most part, this is art that I do not partake in. So I kind of feel bad. Now, you're an Ozark person. They were also nominated for a lot of stuff, and I was just looking at that on Netflix. Is that like Breaking Bad? It seems to have the same undertones.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll probably cross that off the list.
I'm sure.
I only made it through season two of Breaking Bad, and then I quit. My bad.
Yeah. Better Call Saul. You're probably out on that one, too.
Yeah, because that's the spinoff, right? The prequel to Breaking Bad? Yeah.
Yep. All right. Good stuff. Heather hates culture. 656-9900 is the phone number if you would like to join us as we hit today's pop-up fact.
It's time for today's Sports 180 pop-up fact of the day. A quick look at a did-you-know factoid.
Heather, this is courtesy David Ubbins' mailbag today at The Athletic. We recommend his work. Go check it out. This comes from the 2020 season, which, as we have established at this point, wasn't a great one for Tennessee, certainly on the offensive side. And certainly when you consider this statistic, Tennessee ran 660 plays last year, Three of them went for more than 40 yards. No team in college football that played more than nine games had fewer last season.
And when we talk about the fans being excited for that change in offensive scheme and the idea, the thought process of Josh Heupel, that's why people have gravitated to believing in this hire. It's because they don't want to see any more of that type of football on the field, which is not only losing football, but very boring to watch.
Yeah, you would think that a defender would fall down enough times to have more plays than that hit 40-plus. But here's something to make you feel better. You're aware that Josh Heupel's offense has been successful to this point with him as an OC, certainly in the SEC at Missouri and as the head coach at UCF. But last year, which team led the nation with the most plays of more than 40 yards? Well, that would be UCF, which was coached by Josh Heupel. So you already know that his offense has done well. You know that Tennessee's offense didn't. So if you were looking at the bottom of the nation again of teams that played more than nine games last season with plays of 40-plus yards, Tennessee was last, UCF was first. That has to at least make you feel better looking ahead to the future.
Yes, and even though it's a very different roster, and they're going to be missing some key personnel, but we've talked about Jalin Hyatt and some of these other guys that could benefit from Josh Heupel coming in. I think the quarterback room has to be reinvigorated with not only the incoming players in Caden Salter, but also the returners. So, yeah, it's just it's onward and upward, hopefully, and we'll see if they're able to have a huge impact in year number one and what that impact looks like, but at least you're hopeful for some flash on offense from this Tennessee team.
No doubt. We'd have to do some digging. Maybe it's only one or two, I don't know, but how many Alabama players matched or exceeded what Tennessee's offense did for the season?
Well, definitely Devontae Smith in the playoff, right? That's at least one. Golly. It's just that's really sad. And when you look at how many points Tennessee averaged and Alabama was averaging that in the first half of their games, the gap has not closed any, Josh. That's for sure.
Move along, Ward. You are saying that is today's pop-up fact. It is brought to you by Burton McKinnish Law.
Burton McKinnish Law has offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. So if you've got a case, it could be family law, divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, or personal injury, take it to Burton McKinnish Law. All people are equal before the law, and a good attorney will make the difference. Trust Burton McKinnish Law. Visit burtonmckinnish.com.
Offense and points, that'll make any fan base at least more intrigued. You want to get wins, no doubt about it. That'll be a big part of this. But if you're not good and you're not interesting, man, that can be a dull watch for fans.
Yeah, that's like remember when Jeff Fisher's name kept popping up into the Tennessee search? I was like, no, it was bad enough me having to watch him with the Titans. Like, why do we keep trying to play early 2000s and 90s ball in 2021? Like, it's a totally different game now, guys. Like, let's
nostalgia is not. Yeah, it's not just for the arts. We love it with our sports too. I think you've gathered that here recently.
You know how fashion kind of recycles itself, and like things will come back in style and in vogue. Fullbacks aren't coming back, people, and running less than 50 plays a game is probably not a key to success.
I'm holding on to the fullback.
It would be a specialty play that you'd only see like once a season.
Yeah, there is some of that because that's actually popped up in Andy Reid's offense. At some point, I do think there's a team that will decide, you know what? We don't have the quarterback. Let's just get big and be as tough and mean as possible and see how many games that can win us. Let's see how often we can try that out.
They might try, but golly, you'd have to have just a stout defense. You're going to be putting a lot of pressure on that defense. They're going to be out on the field a lot when you go three and out. So it's kind of the same as a hurry-up offense that can never create first downs. So very similar. Your defense, you're relying on them.
Yeah, rarely do you get outscored and win.
I think that's never, yes. Did you see my eyes
pop-up
almost
fact.
Crossed?
To finish up hour number two, we'll come back. Heather Harrington's here. I'm Josh Ward. We'll catch you up on what's been going on in the sports world today. We'll take a look at Tennessee's quarterback position in the final hour as well, right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.